Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
In this Best of the Pigskin Dispatch episode of the Football History Headlines, we cover one of the most interesting NFL title games on record with a very clever strategy that was used to unseat one of the best teams in NFL history, as well as many more Hall of Fame legendary stories and birthdays coming up in a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and welcome to our podcast that goes through the daily history one day at a time through the football history headlines. And today's date, we're going to go over December 9th's football history headlines, and we'll start off in the year 1933 at Athletic Park in Sarnia. According to TheGreatCup.com, the Toronto Argonauts edged out the Sarnia Imperials by the score of 4-3 in the 1933 Grey Cup game. It was the third championship that the Argos had won since the Cup's inception. December 9, 1934, at the Polo Grounds in New York City, it was called the Sneakers Game, and that's what the National Football League Championship game has been fondly referred to on ProFootballHallOfFame.com. This was a rematch of the two teams that played in the 1933 League Championship contest, the Chicago Bears and the New York Giants. The Bears entered the game as the favorites. After all, they had not lost a game all season and had beaten the Giants twice earlier in the season to be a 13-0 record. Weather was a great equalizer, and John Mara, the Giants' treasurer, noticed that the turf of the Polo Grounds was practically a sheet of ice just hours before the kickoff. Mara let the coaching staff know, including team captain Ray Flaherty, about the field. Flaherty's thoughts went back to a game he remembered that when he was with Gonzaga College and then played on a similar icy conditions where they had taken off their cleats and put on basketball shoes to try to gain better traction. Equipment personnel of the Giants raced over to Manhattan College to borrow their team's football gear. Both teams struggled with traction at the onset of the game, but right about then is when head coach Steve Owen of the Giants deployed a team strategy that his receivers and backs were going to change into the sneakers that they had on loan. The G-men had gained a definite advantage and scored four touchdowns in the final stanza to surprise the Chicago Bears with a 30-13 Giants victory, taking home the NFL championship. December 9, 1935, the first Heisman Trophy Award was issued, but it was actually not called the Heisman Trophy, it was called the Downtown Athletic Club Trophy for this issuance. The Heisman Trophy label came in 1936 per Heisman.com. Anyway, Jay Bernwanger, a halfback from the University of Chicago, won the trophy for being college's top player in 1935. The details of Jay's stats are a little sketchy, but we do know that per the Heisman website, Berwanger received a telegram from Manhattan's Downtown Athletic Club informing him that he had won the trophy for being the most valuable football player east of the Mississippi, as well as a trip for two to New York. Quite a reward for 1935 for a kid from the Midwest. December 9, 1939, UCLA ties rival USC. This was a watershed moment for the Bruins that brought their program to the same level as the dominant Southern Cal football program per the SouthernBranch.com website. Both teams were undefeated coming into the game, and late in the game, it was scoreless tie. But USC missed out on a great scoring opportunity when Trojan Grenny Lenzel coughed up the football as he was appearing to be ready to cross the goal line after a tremendous hit and strip by USC's Ned Matthews and Jackie Robinson. Yes, that Jackie Robinson, the famous brave number 42 of the Brooklyn Dodgers baseball team that broke racial barriers in professional sports in the United States. The Bruins recovered the loose ball for a touchback, but more importantly, preserved the tie, which helped put UCLA football on the map. According to a highlight video, Jackie Robinson is number 28, and you can see that video on the YouTube via the pigskindispatch.com article that we have, and you'll see how the fumble was helped created by his great tackle. December 9th, 1938, the 1939 NFL draft took place, and Key Aldrich from TCU was the first pick by the Chicago Cardinals. This was the first year that the draft had been expanded to 20 rounds. The first league draft took place in 1936, and according to the Pro Football Hall of Fame's website, prior to that, players were free to sign with any team that they wanted to. It was then that Philadelphia Eagles owner, Burt Bell, who would later be the NFL commissioner, proposed a plan to have teams pick in the order reversed on how they finished, and it's been that way ever since. December 9, 1939, at Lansdowne Park in Ottawa, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers took home their second Grey Cup title when they outlasted the Ottawa Rough Riders by the score of 8-7 per the CFL.ca website. The story on the CFL webpage is pretty good, and I suggest you take a look at it. In it, they also mention that the weather played a factor in the score, as it was a snow-covered field and temperatures were minus 5 degrees Celsius. December 9, 1939. Once again, the Chicago Cardinals held the first pick in the NFL draft for 1940, and George Cofago from the University of Tennessee was that first pick by the Cards in the 1940 draft. December 9, 1941. The 7th Heisman Trophy Award was given to halfback Bruce Smith from the University of Minnesota. Smith helped the Gophers earn a consecutive national titles on undefeated seasons per Heisman.com's website. Bruce was over 200 pounds and was one of the fastest players in football, so this proved to be a deadly combination to go with his great athleticism and the single-wing offense that he was in. December 9, 1949, the NFL absorbs the franchises of the Cleveland Browns, San Francisco 49ers, and Baltimore Colts as rival league, the AAFC, dissolves due to poor finances. The great story on the SportingChance.press.com tells the detail of the merger as NFL Commissioner Burt Bell reached an agreement with the NFL to merge the Colts, Browns, and Niners into their league while the other AFCs would disband. December 9, 1973, St. Louis Cardinals place kicker Jim Bakken boots 6 successful field goals against the Atlanta Falcons. ProFootballHistory.com gives us the final score of being 32-10 for the Redbird win. December 9, 1984, Eric Dickerson of the LA Rams breaks the NFL single-season record by running for 2,105 yards on the year. Dickerson did it in style as he rushed for 215 yards against the Houston Oilers per the Rams.com website. The dominant performance helped the Rams secure a 27-17 victory. December 9, 1990, the New York Giants running back Otis Anderson becomes the 8th player to rush for at least 10,000 yards in a career per the OnThisDay.com website. December 9, 1995, Ohio State running back Eddie George wins the 61st Heisman Trophy Award. Heisman.com describes how George averaged 152.2 yards per game for a total of 1,826 yards on the ground in his senior season to help the legendary Buckeye rusher gain the coveted hardware. His 22 touchdowns and 11 straight games of rushing of at least 100 yards or more catapulted Eddie over his competition in the Heisman voting. As we take a quick break from the headlines, let me remind you that you can also learn more about the gridiron history on our website, pigskindispatch.com. And you can contact me, Darren Hayes, at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Speaking of hearing from someone, here is one of my podcasting partners from the sportshistorynetwork.com that has a message for you.
He was known as the Bronze Bullet, tied the world record in the 45 and 60-yard dashes, and while he stood just 5'4", he tied the legendary Red Grange for most touchdowns in the Big Ten in a season with 10 and went on to score 45 more in the pros. Join me, Warren Rogan, and football historian Andy Piasek as we take a look back at the phenomenal career of Buddy Young on Sports Forgotten Heroes.
Take it from me, you want to hear that Buddy Young podcast with Warren Rogan. It's a great one, and you can find Warren and his podcast on thesportshistorynetwork.com. Now, here's some quick hitter headlines from onthisday.com. December 9, 2006, the 72nd Heisman Trophy Award was given to Troy Smith, the Ohio State quarterback. December 9, 2013, the Chicago Bears retired Mike Ditka's number 89 jersey from further use by the players in the Bears franchise. December 9, 2017, the 83rd Heisman Trophy Award was given to Baker Mayfield, the quarterback from Oklahoma. Now it's come to that time in this podcast where we go over the Hall of Fame legendary birthdays of the College and Pro Football Hall of Fame of guys that were born on December 9th. Well, the first one took place in 1892 on December 9th, and it was Forrest Guyer, the fullback from the University of Oklahoma, was selected into the College Football Hall of Fame by NFL voters in 1973. December 9th, 1898, Duke Slater, the legendary tackle from Iowa, was born. Slater was an All-American as a two-way tackle with the Hawkeyes. Duke Slater was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1951. He had a great career in the NFL, playing on both sides of the line for the Rock Island Independents and the Chicago Cardinals. He broke through racial barriers in the early NFL as an African-American player that performed as one of the top athletes in the game. The Pro Football Hall of Fame selected Duke Slater to join their legends in gold jackets in the year 2020. December 9, 1938, Eatonville, Florida. David Deacon Jones, the defensive end from Mississippi Vocational School, was born. Deacon's what the Pro Football Hall of Fame called an obscure pick by the LA Rams. The Rams scouts were looking to see if they could find a hidden gem at running back or receiver when they went to watch Mississippi Vocational. Then they noticed a 6'4", 270-pound defensive tackle was outrunning the backs and wideouts in drills. So they took a 6th-round flyer on him. And boy, did that pay off for the Rams, as Deacon played for 14 seasons in the league and was voted as a defensive player of the year twice. Jones was an all-NFL in 6 straight seasons and played in 8 Pro Bowls. Deacon Jones was selected into the Pro Football Hall of Fame as part of the 1980 enshrinement class. December 9, 1942, Dick Butkus, the great linebacker from the University of Illinois, was born. Butkus was a unanimous All-American in 1963 and 1964, according to the NFF. He was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1983. Dick played for 9 seasons with the Chicago Bears, the team that drafted him in the first round of the 1965 NFL Draft. Butkus was all NFL in 6 seasons and had 22 interceptions and 25 fumbles recovered as he dominated the middle of the Bears' defense. Unfortunately, after his 9th season, he suffered a knee injury that ended his career. But the Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrined him in 1979. December 9, 1947, Steve Owens, a running back from Oklahoma, was born, and he was inducted in the College Football Hall of Fame in 1991. Then, December 9, 1955, Jim Haslett, the linebacker from Indiana University of Pennsylvania, was born. He was enshrined in the College Football Hall of Fame in 2001. We hope that you enjoyed these football history headlines and the subsequent Hall of Fame birthdays that we talked about for this December 9th. And we want you to join us for December 10th by clicking the subscribe button so you're notified as soon as it releases. Or you can go to pigskindispatch.com. Write us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com and we'll make sure we send you an email or your favorite podcast provider. But another great source is the Sports History Network at sportshistorynetwork.com, where you can find a Pigskin Dispatch daily history podcast, as well as many other great podcasts on sports history, with many of them being football, with some very talented individuals that run them as and great hosts and interviews. You'll learn a lot about sports history on Sports History Network. That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Just another ordinary day in the offices of the Pittsburgh Guardian newspaper circa 1924. But for Marla Delft, assistant editor, everything was about to change. for she was about to discover the awesome attractiveness of Row One brand retro sports paraphernalia items, thanks to Orville Mulligan, sports writer.
And there it is.
Wow, Orville, that's really the bee's knees.
Isn't it just? A poster-sized replica of the actual 1909 World Series program cover.
I can see that. But where did you get it? And where'd you get it framed?
I ordered it from the Row One website, where over 6,000 items of sports memorabilia from the 1880s to the 1990s are available for reproduction in multiple sizes and in several different materials, with over a dozen styles of frame to choose from for prints like this.
Well, I'm sure Mr. Delft would love to put up more of these in the office. But I'm equally as sure they're beyond this newspaper's budget.
Not at all, my dear Marla. See for yourself. Go to sportshistorynetwork.com/row1.
sportshistorynetwork.com/row1. Oh my, these are good prices. Oh, and look at this stuff. Oklahoma-Nebraska football, college basketball art, Michael Jordan items.
And so it was that Marla Delft discovered the splendiferous magic of Row One sports memorabilia arts and prints. You can too by visiting sportshistorynetwork.com/row1. That's ROW1 today for access to the full Row One catalog of gallery prints and gifts like t-shirts, long sleeve shirts, telephone cases, coffee mugs, blankets, pillows, towels, and even shower curtains. Act today for 15% discount off all prints with coupon code SHN15 and 20% off all other items with coupon code SHN20 at checkout. And keep your dial locked to the Sports History Network for the exciting chronicles of the 1920 sports world in Orville Mulligan, sports writer, coming soon.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts, is found right here on the Sports History Network.